Let us unite in prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at thy first coming did send thy messenger to prepare thy way before thee, grant that the ministers and stewards of thy mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready thy way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at thy second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in thy sight, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Our scripture reading from the epistle is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And the lesson from the gospel is from Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Thanks be to God for his blessed gospel. The mood of the Advent season is the mood of expectancy which culminates in the joyous event of Christmas. We wait eagerly, knowing that soon we shall join the angels and the shepherds singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to man. Even we Baptists, non-liturgical as we are aware that the church year reenacts the drama of our redemption. Those wondrous acts of God in Christ, by which we are brought to forgiveness of sins and life eternal. It is interesting to see that the Book of Common Prayer of the Anglican Church turns the expectant mood of Advent toward the expectation of the parousia, the collects and the lessons during Advent, tend to remind us of the coming of our Lord in judgment at the end of history. The prayer and lessons which I read a moment ago are the collect and lessons for the third Sunday in Advent, which is, of course, next Sunday. And we prayed that we might be prepared for the second coming of our Lord in judgment as an acceptable people in His sight. Perhaps this shifting of expectancy beyond the first to the second coming is justified because we already know in part what the end of the drama is. After the wondrous event of Christmas, we gradually gather momentum as we move toward Passion and Easter, Ascension and Pentecost, the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord and the pouring out of His Holy Spirit upon us. Then, having reenacted the drama, we are left again to enjoy His presence in the Spirit, but to wait for the consummation of His kingdom. So the grand finale of the drama is always yet to come. Our expectancy in the season of Advent, then, is always influenced by the fact that we know He has already come as the babe of Bethlehem and will come again as the King of the eternal kingdom. It behooves us then, does it not, to recapture the mood of the expectancy of Advent as those who know, at least in part, what the end of the drama is. And as such, I want to suggest some elements in our expectation of Advent. First of all, Advent to me is the joyous expectation of miracle. We expect much more than the dramatic reenactment of the Christmas miracle. At that time, our God came to us in the form of a tiny baby, a tiny mite of humanity like ourselves. But the remembrance of this miracle is also the reminder that our God is always the mystery, with a capital M, who appears in the midst of the mundane, the holy who appears in the secular. I'm impressed again and again with the incredibility of Christmas. Surely we cannot expect to find Him in a stable. If at all in a palace or a temple, surely not as the son of a poor, uneducated girl, with just a hint of scandal, her betrothed husband thinking of sending her away privately. Surely He will be the child of the great and notable. Or better still, if He is really God revealed, He won't be a child at all. He will be a mighty king appearing in adulthood and overcoming even our military might and our nuclear bombs by the power of His presence. But here He is, tiny bit of humanity. Shepherds or street sweepers will lead us to Him. We will find Him unexpectedly at the depths of our human existence, not at the heights. This is the sheer incredibility of Christmas, mystery and miracle in the most mundane, the holy in the secular. Joyous expectation. It reminds us, does it not, that even to the humblest of us, our God can come and through us do His mighty work. Those of us offering the least promise of goodness or saintliness or some great work of God can indeed be the vessels of His miraculous power. Maybe one of us today is trembling on the verge of some greatness, the opening of some marvelous door of service. Or maybe one of us today has once seen a great vision which has now become dim and is receding from us. And we are backing away from it and saying, oh no, no. I once thought this, but this couldn't be for me. Well, why not? Who would have expected anything of William Carey of Northamptonshire? No opportunity for schooling, a frail body, not an especially religious or good boy, poor, a shoe cobbler, marrying at the age of 19 to an illiterate girl who was later to become mentally deranged. But Carey expected great things of God and attempted great things for God. And he was to become the great pioneer missionary, the father of modern missions, whose example stirred whole continents to missionary awakening, and whose marvelous linguistic ability created new literature in the vernaculars of India and new disciplines of study in the universities of Europe and America. Who knows what God may do through you? Secondly, Advent is the expectation that things are going to be set straight. It is a profoundly moral expectation. God's Messiah was to come and put things right. Here was a problem for John the Baptist. So we find him in today's lesson doubting. He had announced the Messiah as the one who would come in judgment and straighten things out. He was watching the career of Jesus, and he wasn't the stern, strong judge that John expected the Messiah to be. So from prison, he sends disciples asking Jesus, are you the promised one, or must we look for another? And Jesus gently reminded him that things were being straightened out. The blind are receiving their sight. The lame are enabled to walk. The lepers are being healed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are coming to life, and the poor are hearing the good news. Our expectation, too, is that God will set things straight in the world. And what a world it is. A world that crucifies the Christ. A world that kills a few Jews in the first century and 6 million of them in the 20th. A world that blasts little Negro children to death in Sunday school rooms. A world that lets babies starve. A world that drops atom bombs on cities, and napalm on villages. A world that harbors evil and corruption in high places. A world that exploits and deceives and frightens and manipulates people, including children. We expect, too, that God will straighten things out. But there is a difference. This is Advent season, and we know that the Messiah has already come and has joined us to himself and has set us to our tasks. The early disciples, you know, were referred to as those who turned the world upside down. If we are true to ourselves and to our Christ, we are those who turn the world right side up. By our prayers and our courageous witness and our unfainting labors, we are His church. We are the witnesses of His resurrection. We are the recipients of His unconquerable Spirit. We are the kingdom of righteousness and love as manifest in the world. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We are those who turn the world right side up, and we need to be busy at the task. But finally, our expectation in the Advent season is the anticipation of the mystery of His coming again. So we look beyond Advent because even while we reenact the drama, we know that it has already happened. He has come, and He will come. And somehow all of our labors are but the preparation of His coming. His coming is as mysterious, as unfathomable, as was His first coming before the event happened. His final victory is inseparable to our own labors in His church and in His behalf, but it transcends and goes beyond them, even as Christmas transcended all the dim, enigmatic prophecies that had preceded it. But very simply, the promise of His coming, the manner of which is an ineffable mystery, is the pledge that He does not and will not fail. The good work which He began at Christmas and continued to the awful agony of Gethsemane and Calvary and the radiant victory of Easter, through His Spirit in us, continues in the world. But the consummation of it remains in the mystery of His sovereignty. And He shall not fail. Nor shall we fail if we put our trust in Him. We may be appalled and overborne almost at the horrible evil and the unspeakable suffering, the atrocious injustice of this 20th century world. We may individually suffer moral defeat and have to ask forgiveness with bitter tears. We may experience tragedy which seems to blast away the very foundations of life itself. We may see our own work of a lifetime shattered by calamity or by the calumnies of man. We may be cut down in youth, or we may come to old age wondering what, after all, we have accomplished. But the expectation which we renew at Advent is the eager, joyous expectation of God's victory in Christ. And poor and weak as we are, we know that we share in that victory and that we shall not fail. So we lift up our heads in expectant joy. We shall experience again the thrill of the Bethlehem event while we look beyond it, while we look to the unfathomable but sure victory of God, which is also, by His grace, our victory. Let us stand for the benediction. Now may the God of hope grant to us all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may abound in hope through Jesus Christ our Lord.